faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Therefore, it is extremely important for pregnant women and women planning to get pregnant to get vaccinated.
The outpouring of grief. Starting yesterday afternoon, Bill Malusian with Fox News retweeted some of it from women who are finally believed, who were censored. Women who said, yes, I miscarried twice. Women who said, yes, I was 40. It was my last shot at a baby, but I miscarried. Women who always knew they know their bodies, but were lied to. Lied to by the mainstream media, lied to by the homicidal maniac, Anthony Fauci. Understand something about what happened here, okay? Because when you read this horrific, horrific text by Fauci, saying, I'm hearing I did some masking around because he didn't know, he didn't care about the side effects. I'm finding the cytokine storm that happens, during the first trimester when you get the second COVID shot. Yeah, that's probably going to cause some miscarriages. And people are going wild over this. They should, but they're missing something. Oh, it's so much worse. Who is he talking to in that text? That's getting left out. Oh, Robin Rulinski, head of the CDC. She was on the text chain along with Vivek Murthy, who was the Surgeon General under Joe Biden. And another guy whose name you don't know, but he was head of the shot program. Sitting around talking about, it's going to cause miscarriages. They all knew. And then they went out and told pregnant women to get it. And yesterday, it was heartbreaking. I mean, I must have seen dozens and dozens of these. My wife lost her baby. She didn't want the shot, but she had to keep the job. Which is where I want to remind you how all this ties together, because when you could truly see the absolute depravity of it. So that's the whole Biden team sitting around talking about how the shot causes miscarriages, particularly in the first trimester. They texted each other about it. They let Biden sign the shot mandate, forcing pregnant women to take it to keep their jobs. They said nothing. Instead, they all went on TV, all of them. Murthy, Michelle Walensky, urging women to get it for their own safety and for their babies. Now, remember this, folks. So we had the story last week. Remember how Fauci admitted in his diary that he knew the shot was ineffective. It did not work. There was no reason to have a mandate. But he actually wrote, and he was outraged because Robin Walensky, head of the CDC, was going to tell people. She said she had the CDC under Biden was going to come out and say, hey, it's totally ineffective, and admit it. Fauci was outraged because that would have scuttled the mandate. And so he and the rest of the team pressured her to shut up. He then wrote at the end of that entry, remember this, when Ron Klain comes back from Europe, Ron Klain was Joe Biden's chief of staff, that he was going to pressure Klain to fire Walensky for even thinking about telling the truth about the shot, that it was ineffective. Think about that. So they're sitting there lying to these women, telling them to get the shot, knowing it'll cause miscarriages in the first trimester, while they know the shot's ineffective. Folks, the miscarriage rate in first trimester, when you look at the underlying data, is between 81 and 85%. That is genocide. It's genocide of babies. Here's a person who told the truth about it. OBGYN, this is him testifying under oath before the U.S. Senate once we took control back. His name's James Thorpe. And he explains how we know that.
In the now infamous Shima Bakuro study published on April 21st, 2021, in the digital version of the New England Journal of Medicine, 21 authors claimed the miscarriage rate was 12.6%, but the raw data revealed an 82% miscarriage rate in women vaccinated during the first trimester. This figure mirrors the effects of chemical abortion drugs such as RU486. At least six existing studies, three from CDC, FDA, and two from Pfizer, revealed major breaches in safety signals for COVID-19 vaccines in pregnancy. These findings were ignored. Conversely, countless independent researchers with no conflicts of interest published findings that contradicted the false narratives and the pharmaceutical industry narratives. only to be rewarded by persecution, censorship, and threats to their medical licenses and board certifications.
Okay, let me explain this. If you go to Google right now, if you go in AI, and you say, hey, is it true? Wow, there's a, you know, the COVID shot has a, you know, 82% miscarriage rate. Well, it'll say, no, that's not true. Why? They're quoting the original lying study. I'll explain to you how we know that's true, because it's true. And Ron Johnson, the senator, put out a really good explanation again yesterday. It was a good reminder. There were the study they're talking about, the New England Journal of Medicine, the digital version, looks at 827 pregnant women. Okay. And looks at whether they're after the shot, their pregnancies ended in what's called spontaneous abortion. Okay. So it's not an actual abortion. It's a miscarriage. It's a medical term, right? In other words, your body expels the baby. Right? Here's the problem. 700 of the 827 women were in their third trimester. Those 700 should have been excluded from the denominator. They were put in, and when you put them in, yes, the baby did come out. It was the final trimester. Many of them were after 28 weeks, and the baby could just survive just fine outside the womb. They put them in to the study to get the 12.6% miscarriage rate, which is roughly normal. Take them out of the study and just look at those in the first trimester and you get a horrific 82% miscarriage rate. I want to play something for you. This is Rochelle Walensky, months after she and Fauci and Vivek Murtha, the Surgeon General, are all texting back and forth. Yeah, this thing's going to kill babies in the first trimester. Yeah, I know it is. Cytokine storm and all that. Listen to how she puts it. She's already preparing her legal defense.
Importantly, no safety concerns were observed for people vaccinated in the third trimester safety concerns for their babies. As such, CDC recommends that pregnant people receive the COVID-19 vaccine.
See what she did there? Oh, I didn't say it wouldn't kill their babies in the first trimester. Yeah, I knew all about that. I did the third. It's the third trimester. She's talking about that study. She knows when you just look at the first, 82% of babies are dead from that shot. She knows it. Golly, I can't imagine living with myself after that. But she can, no problem. Twinkle Toes is now at Harvard. She's crafting public health policy as a professor there. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? The outpouring of grief and pain yesterday on the internet was something to behold. So many folks who knew, you know, you just know something caused something, you know, your body, that shot caused them a miscarriage, just pouring out their pain. And they really ran the gamut. Billionaire hedge funder Bill Ackman, pretty famous guy, tweeted, Neary and I, that's his wife, had 7 miscarriages trying to have a second child during COVID. And then the time ran out. WTF was he thinking about Anthony Fauci? Hans Mahnke, founder of the Counter Lawfare Institute, tweeted, perhaps the most damning revelation in the Fauci documents is that every view for which we were denounced as conspiracy theorists and crackpots was being expressed by them in private too. The Biden administration officials he's talking about. Origins, lockdowns, infection fatality rates, efficacy, masks, the so-called vaccines. Across the board, the supposedly insane and dangerous misinformation was exactly what the people in charge were themselves discussing behind closed doors, even as they told the public that only lunatics could believe it. Mahnke continues, if you publicly raise concerns about what mRNA might do, you are a dangerous crackpot spreading misinformation. But if you raise those same concerns privately with Fauci, you are the Surgeon General of the United States. Again, people are missing this. The fact that Fauci wasn't just writing in his diary this time. He was talking to the head of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky. He was talking to Murthy, the Surgeon General of the United States, and the guy in charge of the shot program for the FDA. I mean, and they're all sitting around agreeing. And then they break ranks and for months go out there and tell pregnant women, get the shot. It's unbelievable. But folks, it's even worse than that, because remember what we learned last week. I put it on the Battleground America podcast from Fauci's diary entry. At one point, CDC, this is Biden administration, At one point, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky broke, and she was going to go and tell the public the truth. These shots don't work. They have no efficacy. And Fauci, Murthy, all of them ganged up on her and got her not to do it, intimidated her. And what Fauci wrote in his diary was, well, we can't have her saying that because then we can't have the shot mandate. You mean the shot mandate that forced pregnant women to choose between their health insurance and their salary and their job and getting that shot? The one Fauci and all of the rest knew might kill their babies? Yeah. And Fauci, remember, was so outraged in that diary entry that he said, you know, when Ron Klain, that was Biden's chief of staff at the time, comes back from Europe, I'm going to talk to him about getting Rochelle Walensky fired. Why? She was just thinking about telling the public the truth. Folks, these were the people we were told were the science. They were gold standard. Everybody else was a misinformer, the media said. I want to end this part of the podcast on the murdered babies. We'll never know the number, probably, with this particular tweet. My wife is a nurse. She was pregnant during the pandemic. And folks, there are hundreds of these that I bumped into yesterday online. Her best friend is also a nurse. She too is pregnant during the pandemic. She and her husband been trying for a long time, and this was their first. They were both well into their pregnancies when the hospital that they work for started mandating full-time employees get vaccinated. The hospital was pushing the vaccine so hard and the rhetoric was so crazy that they were both worried if they were even deliver their babies if they were not vaccinated. That's how scared they made people. Remember, all that's lies. My wife and I decided immediately there was no chance she was getting vaccinated while carrying our baby. She was only a couple of months from giving birth, so she tried to stall. She filed for an exemption. It was denied. She used whatever paid time off she had. Then she quit full-time and went part-time. She made it through and gave birth to our beautiful, healthy, love of my life little boy, vaccine-free. My wife's friend was just a couple of months away from giving birth, too, when she succumbed to the pressure to get vaccinated. She and her husband had already set up their daughter's room. They named her Penelope. She was full-term when she started having stomach pain. She thought she was in labor, so she went to the hospital. The doctor told her the baby was no longer alive. They induced labor, and she delivered a dead little girl. Afterwards, the doctor told her that a blood clot caused the death of her baby. Huh. Blood clot. Yeah, you know what? That's weird. That's the shot side effect that Anthony Fauci had, except his was in his lung. Remember? And he hid it from the public after getting part of his lung removed. No, I'll take it. It's safe. By the way, it's now one of the 25 known side effects of the shot. Anyway, here's how the story ends. When my wife's friend sees our son, she still gets emotional because her daughter would have been about the same age as him. It breaks our hearts to see her still so heartbroken. What happened during the pandemic, he writes, was just pure evil. Oh, that rips my heart out.
In the face. Oh, that looked like it hurt.
Doesn't it feel good?
Take a look at this. A Chicago Sky player, DeJounte Carrington, whacking Sophie Cunningham in the face. Oh, that looked like it hurt.
Doesn't it feel good?
As the star player went up for a shot. And now Indiana Fever coach Stephanie White appears to be defending the foul instead of her own player.
Look, it was a hard foul. I don't think that DeJounte intentionally came out to get her across the neck like she did, but it did happen, and I thought it was the right call. But, you know,
Yeah, go ahead. Beat up my player. She is defending the woman, DeJounte Carrington, who clotheslined her own player. I says, that's the coach. And then it gets crazier.
Take a look at this. A Chicago Sky player, DeJounte Carrington, whacking Sophie Cunningham in the face. Oh, that looked like it hurt.
Doesn't it feel good?
As the star player went up.
Sorry, that's the wrong one.
Okay, so the player who smacked girls sports advocate Sophie Cunningham in the face was back on the court last night. Despite holding that flagrant foul, Chicago Sky's DeJounte Carrington was allowed to play as pressure mounts on the WNBA to speak up. You know, the WNBA, they've been silent on a lot, if not everything, when it comes to Sophie Cunningham and Caitlin Clark. No one was watching the WNBA before Caitlin Clark got in there. But now, I mean, people were interested, and now they're like, what the heck is going on with the WNBA and the league?
Yeah, because people inherently understand this. This is the first thoroughly Marxist, totally woke, captured American organization. They tried to with the NFL. They didn't get as far. If you haven't seen it, and if you haven't seen it freeze framed, it's an assault. It is an assault that you and I, and this is the dual justice system, if you and I here in South Carolina did this to somebody in the Walmart parking lot because, I don't know, they took our place in line and it's on video, you are so getting arrested. That's felony assault. We're way beyond fouls. And folks, the buildup to this was when Caitlin Clark, we've been covering this for months and months and months, would get violently fouled and then even more violently fouled. And then, okay, wow, that's felony assault. And the refs wouldn't call it. Or they wouldn't call it. The uproar would be so grave on social media the next day that they would have to put some kind of penalty a day later. That's why this is so shocking. It's not about the WNBA. It's the first fully captured pro-Marxist organization where what you're seeing is discipline is handed out according to people's color and sexual preference and ultimately their value to the party, which is how communist systems are structured. Criminal justice itself. Folks, this is why the DSA, Democrat Socialist America, what do they want to do? They want to abolish the presidency, abolish the Senate, and do what with the courts? Put the courts, this hasn't gotten a lot of attention, under the control of the remaining House, Congress. Why? Kangaroo courts. Judges, bailiffs, everybody, magistrates, all answer to the party. And justice is administered based on your value to the party. And in the Chinese system, everyone is given a rank of 1 through 10. 5 are oppressors, 5 are oppressed. An oppressor can have almost anything violently done to them by the oppressed, and heads must turn the other way. You are watching that in the WNBA, and it's so shocking to Americans. We've never seen a system like this, but this is a common Marxist system. And here's what the fallout looks like. This is the most brilliant, epic rant I've heard on the Sophie Cunningham versus DeJohnette Carrington situation and how hard she clotheslined her right in the throat.
That's a sold out arena that we just saw there when Sophie Cunningham got assaulted. Let's call that for what it is. There it is right there. That's not a play for the ball.
Nope.
Right. You play basketball. You go for the ball. That is a play for the neck, for the head. And obviously, Sophie Cunningham could have been seriously injured here. Therefore, if you're the league, if you're the NFL, if you're MLB, if you're the National Hockey League, even and you see something like this, where clearly there was motive to hurt the player based on what DeJohnette did here, obviously, then therefore you have to punish that player in the sense of, I don't know, 4-week suspension, 6-week suspension, suspension for the rest of the season because she went on social media and wrote white privilege. In other words, either the refs are racist or Sophie Cunningham, because she's white, because she's straight, because obviously this is somebody who spoke out against men playing against women in sports, which I guess DeJohnette didn't think was something that should have happened here. In the end, you have to do something, but instead, nothing is happening here outside of, okay, she got a flagrant 2, she was kicked out for the game. No, I'm sorry. Anybody who watches that play says that that should be something where we see the player who committed the foul that was intentional with intent to harm should be sidelined for quite some time to send a message to everybody else in the rest of the league to say that this cannot happen here.
Yes.
Because eventually somebody's going to really, really get hurt.
Yep.
Like Caitlin Clark just recently was knocked to the ground and then a player actually punched her in the throat, which could be lethal. All right. So if you don't do anything here, you're saying it's a remission slip too. You could do it again. It's okay. If you disagree with somebody's politics or their sexual orientation or their color, that's what we have here at this point.
You're watching classic communism. It's classic Marxism. Again, during the revolution, they would have, after they had, I've told you this many times, put the label on people, oppressors versus oppressed, they would have an oppressor of the highest rank come up on the stage and then would have an oppressed class member beat them, sometimes to death in front of the audience. Why? To demonstrate that it could be done with no legal repercussions. We call this the dual justice system. But it's now how it works in the WNBA. This is, by the way, the Speakeasy Sports Podcast. anchor of it is a black dude. Listen to how he describes, very similar to Joe Concha.
But if we are paying attention to what DeJounay Carrington did to Sophie Cunningham, it was not a race-based decision. And to call that a white privilege-based foul is to completely undermine the term of white privilege and to also completely ignore the rules in basketball. You hit her in the head, you drew blood, you didn't connect with the ball at all whatsoever. So to me, it was just very ignorant and to some degree asinine by DeJounay Carrington to suggest that that call was based on white privilege. Have we seen examples?
What was DeJounay Carrington saying? I should be able to clothesline the white girl because white girl bleed. What? That's Demi Sumato of the WNBA. Why? They're all woke. And if I don't get to clothesline her, if I don't get to knock her down and maybe give her a concussion, I mean, she could have broken her neck with the fall part of that. Well, then it's white privilege. I'm supposed to be able to beat her, right? CNN said, sometimes when you see a Nazi, you just got to punch him. Well, why am I in trouble for beating up a Nazi? It's classic Marxism. It shocks the American people when they see it because they haven't been taught it in school. Once they understand how it works, it's not shocking at all. The WNBA is the first fully captured American institution. Shocking.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.